No, I probably misspoke. It doesn't look that way. It's faith. Y'all understand the difference? Faith is when you don't see it. You see, most of us want to see it. No. It's not he who sees believes, it's he who believes sees. You know, just stop wanting to see it. See it comes later. It's believe it. It's believe it. All right. All right, let's turn to Psalm 24. Okay? Psalm 24. Here it is. A psalm of King David. The earth is the state's. The earth belongs to the state. The earth belongs to the homeowner. I'm just reading what the Bible says. I may have misinterpreted. The earth is the Lord's. Now, does it ever become ours? Never. Superior title always lies in God, and it's always conditional to us. In other words, if we obey the rules, then our title holds. But if we disobey the rules, we are deceased, thrown out, removed, not allowed to stay, and another will take our place. So land is always a tricky deal because it doesn't belong to man ever at any time. Even when you have title, you only have color. You have color of title, that is, the appearance of title. But in fact, the earth is the Lord's. And not only that, the fullness thereof. In other words, everything on the earth. That includes animals, trees, houses, people, everything. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness. Everything that's on the earth, everything that issues out of the earth, and everything that's built upon the earth, it's all the Lord's. How many know then, we are not owners of anything, we are stewards of the grace of God. We are stewards of God's gift. Does that make sense? Does everybody understand what I just said? So, we're not speaking relative to this world. To this world, we're owners. We can own something. And you can either have a lodial title, which is absolute ownership, which almost nobody has these days, or you can have color of title, which is a warranty deed on your property, which means you don't really own it. But at any rate, with respect to other people, you have a defensible title. The earth is the Lord's in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell within. So now he's explaining it. The earth is the Lord's, that's the dirt, the rock, the tree, the earth. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. And then he says, he explains it, the world and those who dwell within. In other words, the world and people, nature and culture. It's all the Lord's. Everything belongs to the Lord. That means everything will be examined by the owner. He's not only the owner, he's not only the one that makes the rules for it, he's the judge of it, and he's the king over it. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and you're part of that. The world and all those who dwell within. What about the Christians? Yeah. What about Jewish people? Mm-hmm. What about Muslims? Mm-hmm. What about witchcraft people? Mm-hmm. Yep, all. Everybody that dwells upon the earth is subject to God. So that's why the Lord is our lawmaker, our judge, and our king. He's the ruler. So God is everything. In other words, there's nothing independent of God. Isn't that interesting? Nothing is outside of God's jurisdiction. There's nothing outside the realm of God. Now, listen to me carefully, because I'm explaining things. I can't do it every week, explain the same thing over and over again. Get it down. Don't be like, I want to be inspired today. No. Be like perspired today. Work hard. Figure it out. I'm telling you something very powerful. I'm reading you the scripture, and I'm explaining it, and it's for your good. It's not for my good. I already know it. I'm sharing with you what God shared with me, what I'm reading his word, is the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So how much belongs to the United States government? Zero. How much belongs to the state of Texas? Nothing. How much belongs to you as a homeowner? Zero. I mean, it doesn't belong to anybody else but the Lord. So everybody's title is inferior. Your title to use, to own, to control, to enjoy, to benefit from, is totally derivative. Always derivative. That is conditional. That means there's a cloud on your title. There are no unclouded titles. Because God is the one whose will and pleasure will be done. And it doesn't matter if you try to take his land, like a squatter might just sit on your land, try to take it. It doesn't matter. God always gets his way. He never runs out of title power. You know, I mean, it doesn't matter, you know, what you try to do, you don't own it no matter what. Because, well, you could if you were perfect. If you had perfect title. If you were a perfect person, you could have perfect title. Unfortunately, there aren't too many of us that have gotten that far. You see what I'm saying? So even if you would say to God, well, I was perfect, he'd say, okay, well, then you have good title. But you're not. And so nobody has that perfect chain going all the way back to the foundation. For he has founded it. Now he's telling about his title. He has founded it. What? The earth and the fullness thereof. The world and those that dwell in it. For he has founded it, the earth, upon the seas. And he has established it upon the waters. Now, seas and waters actually means peoples. In other words, your culture is built upon nature. And the nature is built upon water. Everything, even the land itself, the rocks, the trees, the mountains, all founded on water. Everything's founded on water. In other words, flood takes back everything eventually. Remember when Noah's flood came and everything washed away back into the sea? Well, water covers everything. And so it's like the world, remember in the beginning God created the world, it was water. H2O. And then he pulled the land out of that. So he established this world out of the water. In other words, out of chaos. In other words, out of darkness. Remember the Spirit of God was brooding over the face of the waters? In the beginning, Bereshit bara Elohim, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Et hashamayim ve'et ha'aretz. The heavens and the earth. So in the beginning, God made all that stuff. And this is how he did it. First, there was water there. He created the water too. He created all that stuff. And then he pulled the land out of the water. Remember that? The land was created later. There was light before there was land. Right? So God made everything, and it's all his. And if you make something, you get to make the law of it. So since he made you, he made the law of you. So you're subject to him entirely. Now, the laws today, if they're good laws, they agree with God. If they're bad laws, they disagree with God. So that's how you can tell every law, whether it's just or unjust, whether it's right or wrong, whether it's good or bad. Very simple. Who may ascend? Now it's talking about the people. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Remember, he just said he pulled up the land. He pulled it up out of the seas, out of the chaos, out of the darkness. How many know that our culture right now is sliding back into the chaos? Because we're not founded upon the rock, upon the Lord. If your life is founded upon, you know, you, it's going to slide back into darkness. So everybody complains, oh, Pastor Jim, my life's falling apart. Well, it's probably because you're not founded upon a rock. We had a couple last night at the house and had two phone calls before that and three meetings before that and so on. They're all people in trouble. I don't know why. We just have a church with trouble people. I don't know why. Where did that come from? You know, we're all Christians. We should be founded on a rock. But people slip and fall. Even if they start out as Christians, they end up in the tank. You ever notice that? You know, gee, the first few years were great, you know. But after that, it tanks out. Because, you know, whatever you build, if you don't continue in all the ways of the Lord, you get lazy and sloppy and, you begin to take things for granted, and it'll all fall back into the sea. If you don't keep your finger in the dike, it'll eventually flood the land. So we're always having to repair and fix up and, you know, build it up again. How many know that everything is entropy? Everything decays. Everything's going downhill. It's time, you know, your life, you're almost dead. Did you know that? The minute you're born, you're heading for death. Are you aware of that? Everything is, you know, going back to mortality, temporality, and so on. And God is the only one who cares about saving everything, salvaging everything, fixing everything, building everything up. So who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? In other words, who will endure forever? Who is holy? Who is clean enough? Who is righteous enough? Who is correct with God so that you're rightly underneath the God with fear? The fear of the Lord. It's the beginning of wisdom. Who has that? I mean, as we built our houses just to take care of our own stuff. I mean, know that if you live selfishly, you'll go back into the dark. If you live selfishly, if you live for yourself, if you take care of yourself, if you don't lose your life, if you try to keep your life, you'll lose it. If you spend all your energy keeping your life, how many of you know what it is to keep your own life? Preserve yourself. You know, take care of yourself. Forget everybody else. Just take care of yourself. You know, indulge yourself. How many know how to indulge yourself? You know, it doesn't take a lot of, you're kind of born that way, is take care of yourself. But you don't know how to take care of yourself. Has that ever occurred to you? You don't even know what you're doing. Even when you try to take care of yourself, you're just slipping back into the mire. Have you ever come to that conclusion? Is duh, you know, with all the brilliance I have, I ain't so smart. I thought I was smarter. Dave, has that ever occurred to you? Yeah. You know, I, the brilliant one, you know, I who am clever and knoweth all things. You know, I mean, it just occurs to you some days, you know, I really don't know very much. In fact, I don't really have any power. In fact, I'm a complete zero. Has that ever occurred to you? Is all everything I've done is vain? Everything I've done, you know, and that's the way God built it, so you have to depend on Him. You have to go to Him and say, God, I know the problem is not me and everybody else. It's my relationship with You. I need to build my house upon praise, faith, joy, love, peace, all the stuff that God said, the irrelevant stuff, the stuff that doesn't seem to matter. Well, that's the stuff that does matter. So God built this world out of chaos. He built it out of darkness. He built it out of, you know, waters that were brooded over by the Spirit that said, let's bring life out of all of this. Let's bring the dry land up and the trees and the bushes and the animals and the plants and then people and so on. But people, you know, forget their Creator. They forget their Creator. The Creator also is the Redeemer, and the Redeemer is also the baptizer with the Holy Spirit. So you've not only been created by God, you've been redeemed by God, but you've also been filled by God with the Holy Spirit so that you can walk with God in the fear of God and be led by the Spirit. And therefore filled with the glory of God. The whole earth is filled with the glory of God. Amen? Now, I'm not a preacher, I'm a teacher. I am not preacher. You know, preacher is to exhort you and make you feel, you know, powerful and so on. I don't do that. Every once in a while I preach a little bit. But mostly I am not a preacher, but a teacher explaining to you because I know you have messed up. And the city is loaded with preachers, you know, miracle ones, you know, Bible church ones, you know, Catholic ritual ones. You know, we got lots of preachers out there that it's worthless because it's just a bunch of words being declared and there's no understanding and nobody is fitting it on their lives and doing anything with it, so it's worthless. Even though it's all in the name of God, it's not. It's worthless. That's why we have a little church, because I just said that. But that's all right, because little churches can sometimes survive when big churches falleth down. And that will happen. I declared to you that last week, first of this year, to say all the great works will fall down. All, everyone. All the great works. I could name them, but everybody knows them. All the big, you know, wonderful looking, they are not built correctly. They're not built correctly. So if not, then an earthquake comes and they all just fall down. They all just collapse. But I know this church will never fall down. I don't really care how many people are here. You know, the only one I really preach to is me. I love my preaching. I just think it's awesome. You know, I'm just kind of listening to it. Whoa, that's good, Jim. You know, and I'm just enjoying it. I think it's great. And so I get a lot out of it. You know, I'm really edified. But Peggy always takes the tape, so I'm just listening to them about 20, 30 times during the week. And so, you know, she was trying to get the juice out of them. She hadn't gotten any yet, but she's trying, you know. And so it's good. Because you just have to hear and then meditate, chew. Don't just swallow your food. Come to church, swallow your food, and go home. No, chew it carefully. Because every word, you live by every word, comes out of the mouth of God. Now, I realize everything I say isn't of God. Okay, so I'll throw that stuff away. Throw the bones out. But some of it just, you know, will eat right through because God loves you. Even if I was a scoundrel, God is able, even through scoundrels, to get some truth out. Even the worst pastors and priests and rabbis out there, God gets some truth out. Are you aware of that? He's not limited by, you know, faithful ministers. He can get the job done anyway. He never fails. So even the most wicked, the guy that hates God the most, he's actually serving God whether he likes it or not. But if you could, it would be better for you. I'm just telling you so you can have a better time in this world and make it to the next. So you could have heaven on earth and then get heaven in heaven too. That would be good. But you don't have to have it. You know, if you want to fumble around and fall back into the dark, you're welcome to. And some of you have. It's okay. It's not a big deal. That's how you learn. You learn by going, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. Where am I? You know, and that's a good way to learn. That's a good way to find out. You do need God. You ought to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. But let's just hallelujah for a second. Yoo-hoo! It's good. I mean, you ought to have that all the time, you know, night and day, night and day, night and day, night and day. Not because you're worthy, not because you're good. Get the message down. It isn't you at all. It's God. Everything's God. Now, last week I showed you a diamond. I showed you a diamond. And I could build, give me anything. I could take a circle or a square or a triangle or a tree or a bush or anything. I can just take anything. You know why? Because everything on earth tells the same story. And I give the same message every week. You come once, you don't need to come again. That's the truth. If you've come once, you've heard it all. I mean, because I always say the whole thing every time. So you really could fall asleep. Doesn't bother me at all. And people are, you know, it says, okay, because this is a great place to sleep. Because it's the same old story. In other churches, they're probably more interesting. But in this church, it's the same old story every week. You're bad, God's good. You know, that kind of thing. Amen? So, but, you know, sooner or later, you will see that this, the only reason I keep repeating it is because you ain't got it yet. You know, I know your head's got it. I know, oh, Pastor Jim, I heard that message and I got it down. Yeah, I know you got it in your head. But you're not living it in your life. It's not abundant where the kingdom of God is glorious through you. But anyway, last week I talked about a diamond. And I said that, you know, a diamond had different facets to it and so on and so forth. And I gave this one out. But I could expand on this. I mean, I can expand ad infinitum. But let's put this rock in a setting and then put that on top of a ring. Okay. The ring represents the whole. Okay. Like the whole world. And so God wants, you know, what God wants is he wants to bless the whole world to benefit everybody. And maybe I'll explain this someday, but anyway, the point is, here's a ring on a setting, and here's this stone sitting on top of that, you know, all of its facets and beauty and glory and transparency and so on. And the light shines off of it. So that's the kingdom, because I want to talk all year, every single minute of every hour of every day of this year, on Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther, Queen Esther. I want to talk about the Persian period. All about Persia. Now, I could do Babylon, or I could do Greece, or Rome, or anything. But and I study all those all the time. But I want to do Persia, because hardly anyone knows the Persians. I mean, the Persians, this is Iran, by the way. We'll be in the center of the news one of these days. But I want to show you about the Persian kings, because they're an illustration of something. I'm not going to make it up. I'm just telling you, it's in the scriptures. I'm not just using it to invent something. It's there by the Holy Spirit. By the time this year is over, you will know everything about the kingdom. And I'll use the Persians as the example, which comes out of scripture in Esther, Ezra, and Nehemiah. And you'll be amazed. But if you don't want to read the Bible, you probably aren't going to get a lot out of it. This is only for someone who really wants to know God and wants to follow God and fears God and wants to know everything that's in the Scripture, not just the interesting parts, but the parts that seemingly are not interesting. To me, the begats are interesting. It shows where I am and probably where most of you are. You know, just, you kind of stumble over that and goes, I don't want to read the Bible anymore. But, you know, really, the begats are extremely interesting because they have to do with time and persons and time are important to God and to his kingdom. So here's the psalm. The earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, the world and all those that dwell within, for he has founded upon the seas, established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? Now, I've written up here at the top, God. Okay? So I'm going to write this in purple because God's purple. Elohim, Elo, okay, Elohim, 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 this means the creator. This is Hebrew for the creator. So Elohim is creator. Say Elohim. Elohim. Now you speak Hebrew. It's very good. So Elohim, Elohim. In the beginning, God, it goes like this. Bereshit bela Elohim. You know, it's all about Elohim. You know, it's about the Creator God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So there is not two gods that create the heavens and the earth. There's only one. But he has a trinity to him. I know the word trinity is in the Bible, so don't get all hung up on it, but it doesn't make any difference. There's a threeness, so call it something else. But the idea is that God is one, but he has three persons, okay? Three aspects to him. And so even though he's one God, that is God, they're not three different gods, they're all one because they all share in divinity, like Peggy and I are one, even though we're two separate persons, but we're one. And we're one people, okay, but we're separate. So this is the one and this is the three. And it impacts you and I down here. This is the us, the me, the you. Everything that God does today is for your benefit. Everything is for your happiness. Everything is for your joy. I don't know. To me, that is exciting. That everything my Father in heaven does is for me. Everything the Son does is for me. Everything the Holy Spirit does is for me. Everything's for me. I like it. I just think it's great to be in that family rather than in the other family where the devil is out to kill, steal, and destroy, oppress, just take away everything, make it miserable, you're a slave, and so on. I don't like that one. I like the idea everything's for me. Peace, prosperity, happiness, joy, you know. I just think that is great that everything God has ever done has always been for you. And if you get a hold of this, you'll be happy. Happy is the man who trusts in the Lord. Why would I trust a God that hates me? Why would I trust a God that gives me a law that I can't keep? I mean, I don't want that kind of a God. I want a God that's on my side. If God be for me, who can be against me? Now, do you all have that down? You should not come to this church depressed. I know some of you come in that way, but you're supposed to leave like leaping like a calf from a stall. You should be excited. When you hear the truth, it should set you free. So that you come poor, you go home rich. You come down, you go back out up. You come dark, you get out light. You know, there ought to be a change, a transformation that takes place in you. We're not just teaching stories about the Old Testament or Jesus a long time ago or whatever else. We're teaching it so to change you. Bless you. Change you what? Not change you into a miserable person like, oh, I wish they hadn't gone to church today. I feel miserable now. No, but actually to bless you, to transform you into his likeness so that you're as happy as God is. I mean, you know, God's happy. He's not a miserable God. He's not sad. God is full of joy. In fact, he never says, worship me with misery. And he wants his people to be happy. Just like I want my family to always be happy. I like it. My kids, you know, when I come home, I want everybody to, yahoo, you know, dad's here. You know, it's exciting. And I train the kids to do that. You know, and so, you know, when dad walks in, everybody stand up and, you know, yahoo, dad's home, mom, you know. Peg, I'm home. Yeah. No, Peg, it's me. This is not the mailman, it's me. Okay, well, sit down, you know. Oh, Peg, you know, you don't get it. Because it's joyful to have the Lord of the house come home. I mean, when the king is in the castle, when he's in residence, there ought to be joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hello? Now, I don't know if you're into all that. I am. I'm into total happiness. Is that selfish? No, it's not selfish, but it is self. Taking care of myself. In other words, I don't know how to take care of myself, but God said he wants to, so I'll let him. In other words, I get more out of God taking care of me than I get out of me taking care of me. Why I became a Christian was not because I went from sin to being holy. I went from sin to getting happy. Sin didn't get me what I wanted. I tried sin. I mean, I tried it to the hilt. I wasn't raised by a church. I didn't go to church at all. So I didn't have any religion in my background. There was no religion. You know, we never went to church. So until the third dad came along, remember, Adolf Hitler, that guy, until the third father came along, we didn't even have to go to church. I was, you know, seven. He didn't even take us until I was 11. So I had about 5 years grace. No church. You know, I didn't learn any phony stuff or, you know, Sunday school stuff or anything. I didn't learn anything. I never went to church in my life till I was 11 years old. Isn't that interesting? A total pagan. And even though he was a Christian, I guess, he never took us until 11, because in the Lutheran church, he was Lutheran, you had to confirm him about that time, so he got us in about a year early so you could get confirmed, you know, so I could be a phony like him. I don't know, you don't see the humor of that, but, you know, I mean, he was not alive. He was just a duty guy, you know, an Adolf Hitler duty, German, you know, he just simply did what he was told kind of thing. And his family always went to church, so he always went to church and so on. But it wasn't alive for him. I saved him later. I saved him. You know, he got saved later, and he said, you know, I've always been a Christian, but just in name. There was no reality to it. I just did my duty. I visit my mother on Sundays, and, you know, he just did his duties because he was a German. You understand the Germans? You know, they're miserable people, but they're duty-bound. They always sweep their walks, wash their windows, you know, sehr clean, you know, but they have no happiness until they have a little beer. Then, you know, little cheese, little beer, and a German is Gemütlichkeit. You know, he is hi-ha, you know, um-pa-pa, you know, and he's okay, but he has to go to the beer hall to get that. It's not in the church. Do you all understand? Okay. I'm not making fun of my family. I'm just describing it as I saw it. Because I was a complete pagan. All I wanted was my own happiness, my own joy, fully on God. I didn't fear him, didn't love him, didn't know him, didn't want to know him. I looked at Christians and thought, mm-mm. I don't want to be, if that's what it is to be a Christian, leave me out. I like pagan. You're going to hell? Fine. No big deal. That's later. Don't even know about that yet. I'm just going to live like hell until I get there. And so I wasn't afraid of sinning. To this day, I still just sin easily. You can tell I'm just sloppy at the whole thing. I don't care that I swear or that I whatever. And you say, well, where's the Holy Spirit? He tags along behind me to, you know, and he's always, you know, pointing out stuff. But I do it anyway, even though I'm a Christian and I love God. I love God with all my heart. But I don't love him yet with all my soul. Okay. You know, I love him with all my heart, but I don't love him with all my soul. You know, I still take care of myself at times because I haven't learned to know him that well. But the more I get to know him, the more he conquers me. You know, I mean, I didn't work at that. I didn't help him out or anything like that. When he bought me, he bought me as is. You know, he just bought it as is. Well, how much does this one cost? Oh, that's a throwaway. I'll take it. You know, and he paid full price for me. I was awesome. You know, who would pick me up? I was broken, shattered, you know, worthless. But, you know, God picked me up. And I asked him, are you sure? I mean, you know, is this really your will? You really want to do this? You really want me on your team? I'll ruin it. If you have a good church going, it's over. You know, because the minute I walk in, I'm going to ruin any church I get part of. And when he called me into the pastorate to be a pastor, it's like, I knew I'd be the worst pastor. And that's proven true. That has proven to be the case. I actually thought that. I mean, I wasn't like just thinking maybe. I just knew I'll be the worst. There's never been a worse pastor on the face of the earth than me. Hello? But it turns out that God likes me. And it turns out that, you know, the more I got to know him, I started doing stuff and I didn't even know I was doing it. And he messed me up so bad that I forgot all about my selfishness, and he just began taking care of me, and I just took it. I was a taker, you know, I'll just take it. Why cheat if you'll just give it to me for free? I mean, I was willing to lie, cheat, and steal for anything. And I did. I lied, cheated, and steal. I cannot remember ever not cheating for a test till I was a junior in college. I cannot remember ever reading a book till I was a junior in college. And that was the first time, and I wasn't a Christian or anything, I just decided, you know, I'd lied enough and I was going to get caught one of those days, and I just decided, you know, probably need to start reading. You know, if you're going to be an educated person, you probably ought to read. But I was an excellent, I wrote all over my hands and, you know, everywhere. I could get good grades because I just simply cheated. I was very clever at that and very gifted. So I'm not bragging, I'm just simply saying I was proud of myself for doing so well, but cheating at everything. I knew I was a phony. Now, thank God I'm in a class all by myself. I can't imagine anyone else being as rotten as that. Is there anyone here? Aha. I was hoping there would be one. Two? Oh, my gosh, this is a great church. Three? Oh, that is good. You know, yeah. Well, you all are. The rest of you are just lying. You're exactly like me. Totally selfish. Totally, you hate it when people ignore you and don't worship you and so on. But that's okay. Now, I'm just telling you something about the kingdom today. The kingdom is not about you. You're the beneficiary of the kingdom. You are not the ruler of it. If there's one thing about the kingdom you need to know is you're the beneficiary. You get all the goods, all the goodies. Everything is for you. You're the beneficiary. You don't do a zip. You don't do anything. You don't help out. Now, I don't care what you've been taught. I don't care how much Moses you've heard and how much preaching you've heard. You actually do nothing. And some of you are very good at that. And that's probably why you're all here. Because you're misfits. You're basically debris from somewhere else where you didn't chin the bar, you didn't quite make it. Amen? The teaching was good. Wherever you went, the teaching was good, but you just couldn't do it. For some reason, you just couldn't pull it off. And so you're here for remedial. This is the remedial group. It's kind of like when you've tried everything else and nothing worked, come here. This is a hospital for hospitals that fail. You know, when the hospitals throw them out and they've, you know, killed them and ruined them. By the way, that's where the most deaths take place, you understand. Not wars, not accidents on the road. The worst place to go when you're sick is a hospital. I'm not saying that in any kind of, you know, serious way, but I'm just, you need to think about that. That's where people die. You know, and they don't die because they went there sick. If they just went with a cold, they would be dead by the time they get out, you know. It's the same as church. You go to church to get, you know, something good and you come home miserable. So that's why a lot of people don't go to church. You know, a lot of people, I think the majority of people in America don't go to church. I doubt that all of Dallas is out going to church right now. And this is one of the holy places. The earth is the Lord's fullness thereof, all of it, the world and those that dwell within. He is founded upon the seas, established upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has, listen to this, clean hands and a pure heart. I mean, who's going to be there? Nobody has clean hands and a pure heart. So who's going to be in this place? How many know there's no way to get in? You cannot earn your way into this place because you'd have to have clean hands and a pure heart. Nobody qualifies. There is one. There's only one. The king. Just the king himself. He is the only guy in his kingdom is the king. So the only way you can get into this kingdom is to be part of the king. You'd have to be adopted by, born of, or married to the king to be in this kingdom. Isn't that interesting? There's only three ways to get in. You have to be born again. So you'd have to die before you could get in. Or adopted, so then you'd have to leave your former relations and get into his family. Or married, so you'd have to leave all your former husbands and wives and relations and whatnot, and get married to Jesus only. You have to hate father, mother, husband, wife, brother, sister, even your own life, for my sake and the gospel's. How many know you have to leave everything? You have to leave everything. In order to be part of his kingdom, you have to get out of all the other kingdoms that you're part of now. You're born into the kingdoms of this world, but you have to be born again into his kingdom. Nature won't do it. Now, the Jewish people tried the deal, and they failed. To this day, they're still trying to be good. Good little boys and girls. I mean, you know, the Jewish people are stubborn, stiff-necked, ain't going to make it. If it's up to them to make it, they're not going to make it. Why? Because they don't have clean hands and a pure heart. We know that. You know, there's no way. I don't care who their rulers are or who their priests are or who their high priests are or whatever. It doesn't make any difference. They're just not going to make it. They're businessmen. It doesn't help. Doesn't matter what they do. And the reason they can't have the Holy Land is because they're not holy. I mean, that's kind of simple. I mean, God wants holy people in the Holy Land. That's why everybody there is unholy. I mean, you go there, it's all witchcraft. You can go up to any Jewish place or Christian thing or whatever. You can go to any religious spot, and there'll be Masonic stuff there and witchcraft stuff, and the whole place is just polluted to the gills. You go to Capernaum, where Jesus set up his headquarters, that's the highest witchcraft place in the world right there. Go underneath the temple, there's big Masonic stuff down the basement and so on. It's all garbage, every bit of it. Amen. You understand? It's me. That was me. That's how I grew up. I grew up totally into that kind of nonsense, witchcraft. I told you all my family's mafia. Everybody's bad. Everybody's nasty. Nobody was good. Nobody did right. Nobody tried to please God. Everybody, you know, just did their own thing. I wasn't even raised. You know, my mother, you know, didn't even, you know, there was nothing. She went off to work and, you know, we kids just did what we wanted to do. It was great. For a kid that needs love, it stinks, but I didn't need it. I didn't want it. I like being free and nasty and bad and naughty. I worked since I was 9 years old. Since I was 9 years old, I made no money. You know, and had to give a third of it to my parents. And, you know, I did all kinds of things, but, you know, I was a conniving, thieving, you know, thing. A lot of my work was stealing. You know, that's just part of the, you know, where I made my living, you know. I would steal golf balls. First thing I did is just go to the golf course, steal golf balls. The guy would hit the ball, you know, nice Titleist. He'll pick it up and sell it to the next guy that comes around. Hey, how would you like to buy a Titleist? You know, and you make a lot of money that way as a little kid. I made more than other little kids my age. Even before that, when I was in first and second grade, I was selling drawings to other kids for 5 cents. I remember Bob Brum. Bob Brum used to come every day with 5 cents for his lunch. He would ask me for a picture. Every day I'd draw him a little picture of a horse or, you know, whatever he wanted. You know, just, what would you like today, Bob? And he would give me the nickel because he thought my pictures were great. I was just a con artist. And I stole his lunch money. The guy never ate. But that's okay because his mom, you know, never caught on. I was a thief from the beginning. But I met Jesus Christ, changed everything. Totally got into his kingdom, and boom, you know, the whole world changed. Did that happen to you? You know, converts are different than people that grow up in the church. A convert is somebody that comes in dragged by violence. So they don't want to get in. I never wanted to get in. I didn't want Jesus or God or anything. I didn't want any of that. I wanted to go my own way. I was a kind of a Frank Sinatra type guy, you know. Right? I mean, you know, let's do it my way. And if there was a right way to do something, I can just tell you right now, I never went through the same door everybody else did. If we were all standing in line, I just hated lines, I would find a little side door somewhere, I'd go in that door. You know, why stand here? I mean, I had so many tricks and things, I just would figure out some way not to do what everyone else was doing. I never wanted to be like anyone else. But when I met Jesus Christ, something happened. He just captured me. He captured me, not by hating me or telling me about his law, captured me by loving me. It's like, I don't believe it. You love me? What for? Why would you love me? I'm no good. And if you love me, I'm not going to appreciate it. And if I appreciate it, I won't be consistent. You know, whatever. You know, I mean, I'm just not going to cooperate or work out. You sure you want me? Yeah. You know, and that amazed me. So I fell in love. Are you like that? You know, see, most people, I'm just going to say this to indict most of you. I'm not doing it to do anything, except that I'm worse than you are. That's your problem. You're lying. Because you're actually just as bad as I am. Just as nasty, just as selfish. You get married, you find that out. All you got to do is get married and you find that out. He doesn't love me. You know, I mean, for me, that's a no contest thing. It's like, duh. I mean, I just married you to use you, Peg. I mean, what is it? You know, cook, you know, sew, do your stuff, you know. If you don't want to do it, okay, fine. I made a big mistake, you know, but it's no big deal. I'll live with all my mistakes. Because I'm not worthy anyway. And you know, it's just, she's always amazed when I lie. Peggy is always amazed. You know, like, you're lying. You know, she says it with such conviction. Like, duh, you know, what are you doing? You know, it's like, don't you? No. I love it. Don't you love it? Don't you love how phony people are? You know, so it's just, of course I lied. You want me to lie to God about my lying? I always exaggerate. I always do. And that's not even true. Because sometimes I tell the truth. I just never know. You never know. It's all God. All right. So here's how it goes. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, which is the same thing as saying to vanity, nor has sworn deceitfully. Man, that's all I've ever done. He shall receive blessing from the Lord. Isn't that amazing? The one that's got clean hands and a pure heart will receive blessing from the Lord. No way I can qualify. How am I going to get in? Well, I found out it's a free gift. It's by faith. It's not by works. don't know if you found that out because maybe you thought you deserved it, but I knew I didn't deserve it. So for me, if somebody said it's a free gift, it's like, I'll take it. In fact, I'll get two. Can you have any more? You know, I'll take it. It's free. Give me six of them. You know, that's the kind of person I am. You know, I'll tell God, you know, look over there, and I grab a few more. You know, it's free. It's really free. Salvation's free. Because I may need a couple of them. I'll probably blow one or two of them. I don't know. Are you like that? Very realistic, you see. Very, very realistic. He shall receive blessing from the Lord. Now, excuse me, listen to this. And righteousness from the God of his salvation. In other words, he shall receive. Not earn. Receive. Receive is like a gift. It's a grant. It's something given to you. It's like, receive? Not earn? Not earn it? Actually work for it? You know, it's like, really work? Actually put out sweat? It's like, okay. Well, if you're just going to receive it, I'll take it. So God says, this is free. I paid for it. It's just because I love you. Yeah, but I'm no good. Well, it's the only kind I love because that's the only kind I've got. You know, God was looking out. He could have wiped out all of mankind. Remember that? He did that once with the Noah thing. You remember that trick he did? He looked at all the people on the earth, said they all stink, they're all gone astray, nobody's any good. I'll wipe them all out. But he had one guy, Noah, and three brats. You know, he had one guy, Noah. And I don't know about Mrs. Noah, but he had at least Noah. And so he decided to save Noah and his family. That was a fatal mistake. Because one generation already, it went right back to where it was. I mean, if that was the most righteous guy and he built the whole new world out of that most righteous guy, it went right back to where it was. Nimrod was there right away building another, you know, thing of his own and so on. It wasn't long, and that all came out of Noah. So everybody today is not just from Adam. You are from Adam through Noah. Those three kids, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, we're all from those three kids and their mixtures. Every one of us. And so all of the evil today came out of the best that man can do. And that's why the Bible says the best. When man's at his best, he's altogether. That's nothing. When you're at your best, it's a filthy rag. Your righteousness is a filthy rag. Now, how can there be clean hands and a pure heart? It has to be a gift. It has to be a gift. So God went through the earning thing, didn't work too well. He tried the Moses thing with the law. That didn't work either. Jewish people today still declare the law, but they don't live it. How many know there's a difference between declaring it and living it? They even give misinterpretations of it. Like, well, he didn't really mean that. I love that part. Don't you love that part? The Jewish people are clever liars. I can say that because I'm a liar. I know exactly. It's just like me. Is, you know, they go like this. God says that there's no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. Where today did the Jews sin and shed blood to cover it? Nowhere. There's no more temple. There's no more priests. There's no more lambs. There's nothing out there. So where is their hope? Well, they just slide over that one. It just happens to be the main point of the whole Bible. You know, just slide over it. You didn't earn it, and you didn't get the covering for it. Where's the blood? They could take Jesus like I had to do, but they feel they can make it without Jesus. We don't like Jesus. Well, kind of that's kind of the only, that's the only option you got, unless you're good. So I took him because I was a cripple. I was evil, bad, nasty. I came for sinners, he said. Not like me. This is a sinner line. This is the line for sinners right here.
Yeah.
You know, so this church is built on sinners. Thank God. A lot of you people are doing really well. You're doing good. I'm telling you, I'm proud of you. You have really earned your, you know, your sinning button. You've earned it. Well, you know, I mean, that's good. You're hypocrites and liars and phony and fake and so on. You are very good. You're good sinners. Jesus said, I came for sinners. On it, and you don't do it. But I'll put it in you. Well, I'm going to take that. How many know that's a good deal? That's enough to make a guy happy forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. I am. Is anybody else like me? I'm happy. I'll get back to my diamond in a minute. Maybe. You never know if I get there or not. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, Selah. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be ye lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Now, who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. A king is someone powerful. Now, number four is king. Okay? So, number four, I got the king here. I could put the little circle. This always means the whole world, like the ring down here. And then the little rod. This is the rod. A rod is the scepter. This is the scepter or the rod. This is the power. This is the power, okay? And the crown. There's the crown. That's the authority. He puts you under authority. So now you have the authority. You've been authorized by the author. The author is God. God's the author. God's the only author. God's always the maker, the author. And he gives you the power. So you have to have authority to use power. And then you can use your sword. But you can only use your sword if it's under the, you know, the law. So you got to have a little law here. You know, law. Now, that law over that sword, you should never take your sword out unless it's under the law. Because you only have authority to use your power to do justice. So here is justice, which means the law correctly interpreted. Justice is not just the letter of the law that killeth, but it's always the spirit of the law that giveth life. So preaching the sermon is not just preaching the words out of the Bible. A lot of pastors preach a lot of Bible. They quote a lot of Bible. That isn't authoritative. Quoting the Bible is not authority. You're just repeating words. Given a lot of scripture, say, oh, that was really good. He gave 17 references today. It means nothing. Tell me how many references Jesus gave. Look at his sermons. He doesn't say it more than once or twice. He doesn't need to use umpteen. All you need for anything to prevail is two or three at the most. You don't need umpteen scriptures just to impress the world that you know the Bible. And it looks like you got authority because you've quoted a lot of Bible. Now, I'm saying something powerful because the best teachers out there are the ones that quote scriptures all over the place. Everybody loves it because, well, we heard a lot of scriptures today. Yeah, but that's hearing. How about understanding? Hearing scripture after scripture doesn't give you any understanding, so that's not justice. The spirit of the law is what you need, not the letter. It's the spirit so that you can do it. The doing of it. If you have the misunderstanding and then you did the law, but you did it legalistically, then you did it wrongly. The gospel is the correct interpretation. Here's the law. Here's equity, which is the correct understanding, which makes it just. Because when the letter of the law is unjust, somebody has to interpret it so that it becomes just, so that it can be executed. The king executes the just law. The law is holy, but only if it's made just by the interpretation, the construence, the interpretation by a good judge. So here's the priest giving the judgment on the law the prophet declared. The prophet declares, the priest interprets, the king executes. There it is. Now, God is our ruler, he is our king. That's number four, the ruler king. He is also our judge, number three, our priest, our judge, the righteous one. And he's also our lawgiver. So God is lawgiver, judge, and king. God is. Not people is, God is. And God sends then prophets to us, priests to us, and kings to us, those leaders that we need so that we can become like unto God. So if a prophet is sent and he's not of God, he will prophesy lies, not truth. Or he will tell the truth, but he will say it in such a way that he gives the wrong interpretation to that truth so it becomes legalistic rather than truly beneficiary. Good news, blessing, peace, joy, all the good stuff. You see, a bad trustee will destroy it even though he's saying true words. He can use the law of the trust to destroy and defeat the beneficiary and be disloyal to the maker. Here's the maker on top. Any trust is set up with these elements. Here's the maker up here. Here's the creator up here. The maker, the creator. Now our maker, our creator, Elohim, is also our king. He's also our judge. He's also our lawmaker. So he sends us or appoints prophets. So here's the prophet prophesying to us. Here's the prophet who's appointed by God. Here is the priest And here is the king. Now, these three officers are the only three officers. There aren't any more. That's all there is. So God is expressing himself, revealing himself, the one God, in three ways. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Father is the Holy One. The Son, who's also the Holy One, is also the merciful one. But, of course, the Father is also the merciful one. But particularly, the Son is given the job of declaring and effecting that mercy on your behalf. That's why he was the Savior. Now, the correct interpretation of any law is let God pay for it. Because you don't have clean hands. Here's the law. Have clean hands and a pure heart. You don't have it. So I need mercy. Here, this is for failures who need remedial class. You didn't make it. Under the law, you failed. How many know the letter of the law killeth? But the spirit of the law giveth life. Here's where the Jewish people who know about the Lamb, they know about the blood, they did not recognize the Lamb of God when he came. They killed him. But it's all right, because he still is the Lamb, and he died for them. He didn't just die for the wicked, he died for the Jewish wicked. That is, the righteous, so-called. It doesn't make any difference to God. Jesus Christ is not just a Jewish Jesus Christ. He happens to be the Lord of the whole world. He's the Lord of all the earth. He is for the Jews also. He's not against the Jews. He's not for us and against them. But he's not for them and against us. He's for everybody. There's no other way to get into the kingdom of God except through Jesus Christ. So here's the law. Here's the interpretation through Jesus. Mercy. It's the only way to approach people. This is the way to base your relationships. My marriage is a good marriage. You know why? Because it's not based here. It's based here. We have all the laws, but I'm just not real good at keeping them. So I need this mercy part. And Peggy stinks too. She may think she's, you know, hot shot and real keen and good and neat, but I can knock her down. I'm good at knocking her down. I always lower her down to my level. Get her down in the mud with me. So it's real easy for me to do that. I can bring out the worst in her real easy. You all have that gift? Because even after Peggy's yelling at me and looking down at me and despising me, all her sin is coming out. So I win. You who are judging me, you yourself are judged. You know, and I just have so much fun getting caught. Because you always catch the one that's catching you. Because when God catches you, he forgives you. That's interesting. You know, Peg, you're pointing out all my sin, but I'll just say something to you. Are you judging me or are you going to die for me? I mean, were you doing all this so you could cook me a nice meal? Is that what's why you're saying all this? Are you doing all this so you can fast for me and so on? Are you pointing out all my sins so that you can, you know, just show mercy to me? Is that what you're doing? That'd be great. And it's not. So she's guilty. She's indicted. Don't you love it? Don't you see how happiness works? We're all on the same level. All have sinned. All. Male, female, young, old, fat, skinny, dumb, smart. It doesn't make any difference. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I like this way. It works for me. This is a religion tailor-made for me. You see? I mean, if it works for me, it could work for anybody in the world. In 2 weeks, we're going to India. There'll be untouchable people there. They'll, you know, be the Brahmins. You know, we'll meet them all. 700-800 pastors. I have no idea, but they told me there'd be that many. So, okay, fine. But whatever it is, I want to meet all these pastors of these Indians. Now, in India, Christianity is just nothing. It's less than 5%. So most of them are Hindus and Buddhists and Muslims and so on and so forth. So it'll be exciting to be in a land where you're hated. Wouldn't you like to go? I didn't think so. But I like to go to those dark places because I'm as dark as they are. I mean, I can't look down on them because I'm just like them. And, you know, we'll have the... Anyway, you'll have them all. And so they need good news. I know they'll love it. I know that, you know, you're always a prophet in some other land. You guys are, you know, like wanting to stone me. But over there, I'll be famous. They'll be wanting my books and tapes and stuff. You know, I mean, I'm serious. You know, just, oh, Pastor Jim, could you please come back? You know, never. Before even going, I don't want to go back. You know, I mean, I don't want to go. It's just too far away. You know, do you understand? I don't even know the lingo. Even though it's English, I can't understand it. Hello. But fortunately, they're at the gas stations and own all the hotels and stuff, so yeah, I know a little bit. Hello. Susan, you got that. The world is crazy, isn't it? It's okay. It's okay. Relax. Now, this holy law is followed by merciful, you know, not law, but interpretation of the law, so it becomes the gospel. So holy law, merciful gospel, and executed, that is actually doing the will of God on earth. That's why even though God is our, he's the holy one, he's the merciful one, he's the mighty one, he is the lawmaker, he is the judge, he is the king, even though God is all of that, he appoints officers in his kingdom for me. All of it's for me. Everything that he does. The prophet's for me, I repent. This merciful one's for me, I believe. This king is for me, I obey. I repent, I believe, I obey. I repent, I believe, I obey. He declares, okay, he declares to me the holiness. Then he gives me the understanding so that I believe. So I have to repent. When he says holy, I have to repent. Oh, I'm not. I'm not holy. Never have been, never will be. I'm just not a holy person. I'm dirt. Just naturally, I have a dirt nature. We all do. We're all made out of the same clay. See, there wasn't a nice clay over here, group two. You know, we were all made out of the same dirt. Remember when Adam and Eve were made? This dirt pile. Just reach down the dirt pile and say, yeah, make a man out of this. I mean, I don't know. I identify with that. I feel like I'm still dirt. You understand? But he said, I'll make something glorious out of it. Okay. But it's not in the dirt. I'll tell you that. Dirt has no glory. You can put gold on the dirt, but it's still dirt. You see? So I know who I am. I'm dust. I'm nothing. There isn't anything there. But Jesus Christ likes me. And so he breathes into me his breath. Now that's something I don't have. Dirt people don't have that. Now animals live, but they don't have the breath of God. See, they have bios. They live biologically, and I'm just biological till I meet Jesus. Then he puts Zoe in me. It's a different kind of life. It's an eternal life. It's God's own breath. Peg's tired. She's already heard this. But... no, she's letting me know I got to get out of here very soon. All right. Now, who is this King of Glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. All the strength is here. Here's where the power of God is. Number four. Get a hold of this because I want to build on this all year long. So I don't want to repeat it all the time. Here's God. God is one. But here he is. Here he is, the Holy One. Here he is, the Merciful One. Here he is, the Powerful One, the Mighty One. So this is the indwelling Holy Spirit. That's where you get your power. This is Lord Jesus Christ who dies for you on the cross, sheds his blood. There's the mercy. Here is the Holy One. Tells you in the Old Testament all about what you need to be, which nobody is. The only point of giving the law by Moses to the Jewish people was so that they would be the first people on earth to say we can't do it. Instead, they were the first people on earth that lied and said, we will do it. You remember when they said that? Remember when Moses brought the law down? I remember when Jacob was standing there next to his wife, you know, Ethel, and he said, you know, Ethel, I think we'll do it. What do you think, you know? You know, I give all to people to do it, you know. And so they were all going to do it. And so they all said with one voice, we will do it, you know. And basically God is saying to them, be perfect. Have clean hands and a pure heart. We will do it, yes. Nobody else may do it, but we will do it, you know. It's like, that's stupid. I mean, how dumb can you be that you could do the will of God? How many know you can never do the will of God, ever? He wants perfection. You have to be holy as he is holy. You have to love as he loves, you know, rejoice when he rejoices, you know. So, and he's never miserable. You can never be miserable. Most of you are miserable a lot. That ought to be a clue. A little clue. Maybe I'm not quite like God, you know. And the Jewish people haven't picked it up. They are stiff-necked and stubborn and blind. They're blind, like they just can't see where they're going, and they think they're the enlightened ones, the Illuminati. You understand? They're the head of all that junk and that garbage. It's nonsense. So they're the ones with the Kabbalah. You've heard of the Kabbalah. Maybe some of you have bought the books. Ah, the deep, deep, deep. You know, it's just hogwash, people. All it is just the Greek mystery religions, which was just Baal, which was just, you know, sex stuff. That's it. You want to know the deep? It's just penis. That's it. That's all it is. I'm serious. That's it. That's it. There isn't anything more to it. You don't understand. This thing is so crude. You don't even know what you're doing because you think it's enlightened and it's covered with all these words and so on. It's just simply evil. It's just you, selfish. That's why you need a Jesus. And the Jewish people are running out today. The reason why they're going to listen today, they've never listened before. They will listen today. I don't mean individuals. I'm talking about the nation. No other nation on earth will do this, only Israel. The reason she'll listen is because she's in trouble. And she's being whipped, beaten, smashed by the bad guys. But the bad guys aren't the bad guys. Of course they're bad guys, but they're just guys. But the Jewish people are the bad guys that don't admit that they're bad guys, and that's why the bad guys are getting the bad guys. Because they haven't said yet that they're bad guys. And as soon as they say they're bad guys, then God will rescue them. As soon as you admit, God, I can't. I won't. I didn't. As soon as you admit that, say those three words. I can't. I won't. I didn't. As soon as you say that, instead of saying, well, I tried. I did my best. You know, that is such nonsense. Just say, I sinned. I'm sinful. I'm wicked. I'm bad. I'm nasty. I'm shallow. I'm evil. I'm, you know, whatever. Just fill in the blank. It doesn't make any difference what it is. That's all God has ever wanted, to build his kingdom out of trash. He's not going to build it out of good material. He's the good material. None is good but God. You're just trash. You're just dirt. He can make anything out of anything. He's God. So the reason he sent you the prophet was to destroy you. He meant to destroy Israel. He wanted Israel to be the first nation on earth that said, we can't do it. We can't be holy. But they said instead, we're Jewish. You're not. You know, and the Muslims got ticked off at that. We got the last prophet. You know, and so everybody's making up how great they are and missed the whole point. The whole point of God's law was so that every mouth would be stopped. The law is for exposure, not for keeping. I'm going to say it again. The law is simply to expose you. It was never meant to explain away. Hey, God, look at, now here's the deal. I know you gave me that rule, and here's what I did. And you'll have to, you know, please just wait a minute here before you say anything. I did my best, you know, and so on. He doesn't want that. All he wants you to say is, I sinned. No explanation, no reason why. Well, my mother was dysfunctional. He doesn't care about that. Did you sin? Well, kind of, but, you know, it was Adam's fault. You know, he doesn't want that. All he wants you to say is, I sinned. Hello? I'm a bad wife. Just try to get these words out if you can. I am a bad wife. Say it. Okay. I am a rotten, unreliable husband. Yes, of course. I mean, that's natural. That makes you feel better. Like, get that out of the way. That's like first story in the book. You were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. Not because you were nice. You did the very thing he said not to do, and you didn't do any of the things he said to do. And that's always the case. That's a pattern in your life. Right? Now, you can save a lot of psychiatry by coming here. I just tell you right now, I'm just saving you lots of money. Because you don't need to hear to those other churches that are telling you how great you are and how blah, blah, blah. God is good. If they say that, I agree with them. But if they're telling you that you can do it, I hear pastors all the time, you know, and even the best of them, I hear them just at the last minute, they'll throw in a little bit about, now, come on, we can do it. It's like, get out. Well, we have God. You know, yeah, but you have God, but you still don't do it. Just stop lying. You never did it. You'll never do it. If anything is done, it'll be Jesus. It wasn't you. If something good comes, it's just a gift. It's a gift. What do you think God's trying to show you something? That he's a giver. He's a giver. God's a giver. You're the receiver. That's clear. You're a little child. Stay that way. You're the wife. Stay that way. Stop trying to be a woman being like a man. That is so dumb. Well, I know why they do it. They do it because the men are no good. But so what? So what? So the men are no good. That was your fault for choosing him. That was your fault. Who do you think chose the guy? You. You know, did you bother to ask God? Because he would have told you. Hello? There's never been a man married yet who's ready. Ever. Ever. You know, they're always... And guys just never grow up. I don't know if anybody noticed that. Guys are still juvenile. I still feel like I'm 6 or 5 or something. I'm just the same as I've always been. Hello? Just grayer. That's about it. You know, just grayer. So, I don't know if you're getting anything out of this. But this is all about the kingdom. In every kingdom, there's a king. God's the king. But he also appoints kings. God is the judge. But he also appoints judges. And God is the prophet, or that means he's the legislator. This is the legislative branch. This is the judicial branch. This is the executive branch. So you see, the king is the last. The executive branch is the least. Why? Because all it's doing is executing what the judge said was a true, just law that the legislator made. The legislature makes the law, but they're often misinterpreted and misapplied. So whenever a law is made, it has to be interpreted correctly, then applied correctly for the benefit of the people. And when the law is not, even if it's a good law, it could be interpreted in a bad way so that the lawmaker gets all the benefit. And all of the lobbyists get the benefit. And then the people get cheated. That's what happens every day of the year. That's why God set this up to say, here's the right way to do it. But do we do it the right way? Just because we know what's right doesn't mean we're going to do it. Knowing what's right doesn't make any difference at all. So you've heard the declaration, this is the right way, walk ye in it. But nobody does. So if you walk the wrong way, here's the only hope. Good interpretation through Jesus. And that's why everybody omits Jesus. Even the Christians omit Jesus these days. You know, everybody wants to be spiritual rather than religious. We don't want to be religious, we want to be spiritual. Now, what does that mean? What that means is we don't want Jesus. We hate that, you know, tied down thing like we're doing here. You know, this is not the most exciting place in the world to be on Sunday morning. I think it is. I think this is the most exciting place to be. Here's where the truth is going to go forth. Not because I'm any good. I'm no good. I told you I'm no good. And the reason why God likes me is because I'm no good, and I admit I'm no good. It's the correct interpretation. But here's the correct interpretation, that God uses no good people and forgives them, and then he also empowers them through the Holy Ghost who's in me to will and to do for your good pleasure. That's because God loves you, not me. I don't. I don't love you. I don't love anybody. I don't love. God is love. I'm not love. God is love. I'm not love. I don't love. I don't have any love. I don't have any joy. I don't have any peace. Those are gifts of God. They come into me because I need them. I need his love. The reason I love is because he first loved me. I got the love, and then I just get all crazy taking his love, and I accidentally start loving people. I didn't mean to. I get joyful, and I wasn't trying to. You know what I mean? I did not mean it. I did not mean it. Because I wasn't raised religiously, morally, and all that stuff. I don't believe in all that. Because I fail on that. You know, I heard what he really said. He didn't say, do the best you can. He said, be perfect. I heard that. And went, no way. Even best you can, I wouldn't even do. But be perfect? No contest. I mean, forget it. I mean, that ruins all religious attempts right there. There's no hope. So this is the truth, what I just told you. It's the diamond. I'm cutting it so beautifully here that you're going to see the light of this when it's all done. It'll reflect God. But it'll bless you. You're the one that's going to get all this rich. All the riches are for you. All the benefits for you, all the peace, all the joy, everything that's good is for you every second of your life. Not heaven someday. Heaven is not a reward someday for being good. Heaven is where you're going because you believe Jesus. You see, it's all Jesus. It's not Moses. Moses can't do anything but negative. All the laws are thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. They're all negative. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. No fat, no salt, no sugar. You know, everything is negative. Well, what can I eat? Very little, you know. It's just not, there's no fun with God, see? Everything is, you got to admit you're no good and you need Jesus. It's like, well, that's why I hate admitting that. I would like to say, well, I'll use a little bit of Jesus. How much do I need? Well, you know, you need all, everything he's got. Oh, man, that could ruin your life. That could cramp your style. How many of you don't have a lot of room there to gripe and complain? If Jesus is everything and he's your entire joy, life, love, everything, peace, everything. If he's everything, it's over. It's over. You don't need a good marriage now. You don't need a good bank account. You don't need good health. You don't need anything. You got Jesus. With Christ Jesus, he freely gives you all things. You get everything else as a free gift because it's all a free gift. It's all a free gift. It's just for those that are able to say, Lord, I just can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. And he says, it's okay. I don't want you to do it. I just want to give it to you. Everything I'm doing right now in my life, everything I'm doing is to bless my wife when I'm dead. I'm planning for death. 65, I'm going to die. Okay? I'm planning for death. Everything I'm doing is for my kids and my grandkids. I'm not thinking of me anymore. I did that for 65 years. It didn't work. It didn't work. This is all I got right here. You can see how pathetic that is. You can see the humor of that, but anyway. But the point is, what are you working for? I'm not working for anything anymore because I don't want anything. You can't take anything from me because I'm already dead. I've already got it in my head. I'm going to die. I'm going to get sick. I'm going to, pretty soon my teeth are going to fall out or something. So this is not going to work. I know that. Okay, so I'm not going to build my life on, I'm sorry, but it's probably happening. It's going to happen. I just know it's going to happen. Anyway, the point is, I don't need anything. I don't care. That's a great way to live. But everything's a free gift. I won't be surprised if I stay alive. That'll be a shock. Yeah, that'll be a shock because I'm not even prepared for it. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you're dead, that's when you begin to live. So I'm denying my life, meaning I don't want it anyway. I don't even believe in it anymore. It's not any virtue on my part. I'm just getting old. There's no virtue to it. There's nothing virtuous about that. It's just, well, petered out. I just can't chin the bar anymore. You know, trying to get Peg to do everything if I can, you know. So I'm trying to arrange my life in such a way that I let Jesus do everything. He's very good. He's very good. I'm having a ball, aren't you? Isn't this a great world? If, I don't know if there's anybody here under 12, you know, but this would be, it'd be a great life if you get a hold of it early. Is, you know, don't think you're going to get married to somebody wonderful. You know, don't think that money's going to solve all your problems. You know, don't think good health is worth anything. I know people that are 45 and all vigorous, they drop dead. I noticed that. Have you ever noticed that? People in good health and they just, suddenly you find out they drop dead. What happened? You know, here's my mom eating cookies and ice cream all the time. She's still 84. She's still going on. And she does nothing right. Yeah, I can't get it. I tell her, Mom, you're going to die. Yeah. Give me another cookie, Jim. You know, like, Mom, you know, how can you do it? You don't get anything good in you. Well, could you give me one of those pills, Jim? They're doing everything wrong. Mom, you should be eating natural honey and, you know, so on. She didn't care. So I stopped, you know, stopped trying to fix her. She's having a ball just watching Pat Robertson on TV. Eating her cookies. I love it. I love it. No. She's doing everything wrong. But you know what, my mom? She believes Jesus likes her. That's it. She actually believes Jesus likes her. So she's having a ball. Y'all understand? She's no good. She's no good. She's not doing good at all. And then she's complaining. Mom, at least if you're going to get aches and pains, don't complain because you're eating cookies. That's all you're eating. There's no nutrition there. Well, you don't know what it's like to live alone, Jim. It's hard to cook. These things come in little packages. And so all she has is a chair and a TV set. That's it. You know, and a refrigerator to just keep going and raiding and then call me up when it's empty. That's great. My mom is great. Get a hold of it. This world is for you. Amen? This world's for you. Now, Dave, have you got everybody praying for your boy? Tell them about that. Tell them about that. Tell them about the joy of being able to pray.
Huh?
Yahoo!